When I was very young, our family would go to picnics at some place on the south side, some park, I don't know, where the Bostroms and the Johnsons, or perhaps I should say the Bostroms and the Johansons, would gather to celebrate our Swedish family. And at Thanksgiving, we would get together also, and we would have turkey, surely, but we would also have Swedish meatballs, and we would have something called bruna-bruna that I still don't understand exactly what it is yet, but I knew that when I tasted it, I did not want any more of it. This did not please my grandfather, but nonetheless, I knew I was part of something bigger than myself, part of something bigger even than my family with whom I lived. I was part of something. I mean, there were people there whose names I didn't always remember and who I didn't know, but I knew I was connected to them somehow through this heritage that went all the way back to some far away land called Sweden. Well, Paul is writing young Timothy to remind him that he is part of something larger than himself as well. That this faith that this young boy now feels stirring within him came first from his grandmother, from Lois, and then from her to his mother, Eunice, and now to Timothy. That this faith has been passed on to him, that one of the gifts he's received from his parents who gave him life was also this gift of faith. And Paul encourages Timothy to look back with gratitude at those who touched his life in such a special way. And so today, when we invite our young boys and girls to the table of the Lord for the first time, we give thanks too for those grandmothers and grandfathers, those fathers and mothers, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, who are part of their faith family tree, who have been witnesses in word or by example of the power of faith and hope and love in a human life. And so that is already at work in our young boys and girls. And so we give thanks for that today. Now, last night was a difficult one for an unofficial national organization that is just over 100 years old, Cub Nation. Yes, Chicago Cub fans are yet again in mourning because for the 99th consecutive year, we will not win the World Series. But at least we lasted longer this year. We got a little bit further than usual. And next year, surely the 100th year, surely next year is the year. But Cub fans share the grief. And you know, there's something sad, but there's also something good about knowing that you are part of something bigger, that you are not the only one, that everywhere there are people who mourn along with you and are saying, surely, surely next year will be the one. Well, Paul tells young Timothy that he is part of something larger than he knows also. That Timothy, you are part of a plan. You are part of a calling, a holy calling. A holy calling that is to share the grace of God with all the world. And that God has been working on this through the ages, through the generations, before the generations. God set his grace at work. And now Timothy, and now Lily, and now Josh, now Michael and Mitchell, that same promise is at work in you. Lauren and Ariana and Josie, that same promise is beginning to work in you too. Because all of us share that holy calling, that great purpose that is sharing the grace of God. Now, sometimes people know it. Sometimes people sense that in some way they're part of it. And they come together in something like this called the church to try to figure out their part, their calling, that great calling. Sometimes people are part of that calling and they don't know it at all. All through the Bible, you can read stories of people that were not part of the nation of Israel, that were not followers of Jesus, but somehow they were being part of God's work as well, that God's grace was working in their lives too. There's a Catholic theologian that calls those people anonymous Christians. It's a great phrase, I think, anonymous Christians. People who are doing healing things, people who are doing good things, people are who are being doers of the word without even knowing it. You know, there's that story of the final judgment that Jesus tells where Jesus separates the sheep from the goats and says, off you go into heaven because I was hungry and you fed me, and I was naked and you gave me clothes, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And they said, when did we do that? Well, anytime you helped anyone, you were helping me. They didn't even know. They didn't know what they were doing. So those who are part of God's holy calling, sometimes they know who they are and sometimes they don't. And sometimes it's something they discover along life's way. But in any case, God is at work. God is at work sometimes in ways we can easily see, and sometimes, very often in fact, in ways that we don't see until later, with that holy calling of working his purpose out in our lives and in the world. About a week ago, I was part of a very powerful experience, a memorial service for the granddaughter of two of our church members who died before birth. Very, very sad, tragic. And that young girl's parents had a memorial service that they ran themselves, that they spoke at very movingly and very powerfully of their own loss, of their own very deep loss and sorrow at this unimaginable event. And then they did something rather remarkable, I thought. As they spoke about their own grief, then they stepped back a bit almost, and they said, but you know, our grief is not ours alone. Anyone who has lived very long on life's journey has suffered some kind of a loss, some kind of a tragedy. And so let this moment be also one where we, in our own ways, name our own losses, our own sorrows. And by so doing that, share them, because grief that is shared is, in a way, cut in two. It's very powerful the way they did that. And anytime we can take an experience that we've had of our own and then realize how, in a way, maybe it sets us apart because it's a different experience, and yet in a way that connects us to all of God's family, to the whole human story. I think that's one of the ways God's at work, and maybe one of the most promising ways. If we look at that world that is so divided by so many beliefs, belief systems, so many cultural traditions, so many differences, and yet there are those powerful experiences we all share. And loss is one of them. Loss is one. You know, loss has enabled some Palestinian mothers and some Jewish mothers to find some common ground and to work for some kind of justice. That loss has enabled Catholic parents and Protestant parents in Northern Ireland come together to try to find a new way. There's something powerful whenever we share our own experience, our own particular experience, and see how it unites us with the rest of God's people everywhere. It's enough to give one hope. Today we come to the Lord's table. And we bring our own hungers to this table. Our spiritual hungers, our seekings, our longings, our uncertainties, our fears. We also bring our gratitude for that grace of God, that love of God that we've experienced, we've sensed, sometimes in ways very obvious again, but others in ways perhaps less tangible, less obvious. We come to our Lord's table and we take bread, we take the cup, and we seek anew that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be at work in our lives. And it's a calling, too, when we come to this table, because we know that everywhere we look in this great wide world of ours, there are people who are hungry. We're called to help bring them bread. There are people who are thirsty. We're called to give them something to drink. And knowing that, it's good to report to you today that got an email from Megan Gregory the other day, our young woman who's a Peace Corps volunteer in El Salvador, has been working and working on trying to bring pure water to her community in the, on the side of a volcano in El Salvador, and they're ready now. The money that you have given and that others of Megan's friends and family have given for water purification systems in each of the homes in that little village, they're ready now to purchase those systems. So the money that you've given will go out on Monday, and soon we pray and trust those systems will be at work in that little village of Alamatone, and that living water of which Jesus speaks will flow in that village in a new way to bring health to those children in that place, to bring healing, to bring clean water. What a precious gift that will be. So today, think of what it is that you're part of that's bigger than yourself, your family, those whom you live with perhaps, but that larger family of loved ones near and far, that even larger family of those who are your inner circle of friends, that larger family that is this congregation, whether you've been here for 50 years or 5 weeks, and then that larger family that we cannot even name and see, but that family of all of God's people everywhere. And know that you are part. You are part of something greater than yourself, greater than any of us could ever define or name, but that holy calling, that holy calling to share the grace of God. Amen.